Yeah, so I think the last thing we've had quite a bit of conversation about this the last few family meetings. So partly tonight is trying to sort of update us all on some time the elders have spent on this. We had a good sort of 2 days back-to-back thinking through some of, basically hearing a bit more from Dan about the research he's been doing on council estate ministry, I guess, church and hard places, the different phrases that we use. Thinking through what that might mean for us. And basically we've got just some things to kind of share with you all, and then what we'll do, we're gonna have time for just in groups discussing that, any questions, comments come out of that, and then some of the sort of next steps we'll come to at the end, and then we just really wanna spend a good bit of time praying for this work. So are there more slides to come after that? I can't remember.
It's just that. And then that's it. Okay, yeah. Promoting the prayer meeting at the weekend.
That's it. So basically it's kind of a bit of a double, I will sort of say a few things and then Dan will sort of make sense of them, and as I say, we'll just do a few headings, and then I say there will be time for discussion. But again, if anything's unclear, stick your hand up straight away. But as I say, there will be time for discussing and questions in a bit. So I guess we're committed to growing a church on Ayres Monsell. That maybe doesn't feel a radical statement, but we've talked a lot about church planting, and we will still use the word church planting, the term. But actually, we think the growing a church on Ayres Monsell is probably more accurate. In that it struck us a few months ago chatting together. Some people were saying things that, well, we've got Ralston as a venue, which we do. I mean, Ralston would very happily have us, you know, this coming Sunday. Why not just start? Why not just start something? But basically, from Dan's research and chatting to people, we think there is a slightly different time scale to that. And we've talked a bit about this already, but I mean, Dan, do you want to just say a bit what we think the time scale for growing a church in Muscle will look like and why we think that time scale?
Yeah, we're thinking somewhere around 2 to 3 years before beginning a church service on Ayres Monsell. As I said, we could literally rock up this Sunday, we've got the people in the church, we could do a service. The problem with that would be is that in an area where the culture that we would be in is very different to the culture most of us live in and come from or exist in now, anybody from Ayres Monsell who came into a church service run by us for us, well, there'd be no one there that looks like them. We would speak in a way that wouldn't really reflect them. We wouldn't reflect their community. And the stats will show that they just won't stick around and they just won't stay and they won't come back. A friend of mine, sort of to highlight this, a friend of mine planting a church in one of the schemes in Edinburgh, for their first service had to put a blog post out saying, we've really appreciated all of your prayers and your support and your love and your messages of encouragement. And the number of people who've said that they want to support us in doing this, please don't come to our first Sunday. Because if you are all filling this room and somebody from the estate comes in and they see you, oh, they're not like me, this isn't a church for me. This is a church for you lot, so I'm not part of this. Whether we realise it and we think it or not, there is a subconscious barrier and difference between us and the people living on places like Ayres Monsell. Whether we want to admit that or not, there are ways we talk, ways we dress, ways we communicate, ways we do things. Will be different. So the idea will be that there'll be 2 to 3 years where we hopefully grow the number of people on the estate who we know and who we can share the gospel with and who we can invite to studies and who we can develop friendships, and 2 to 3 years where we can get involved in life on the estate as much as possible, with the idea being that through that, hope and prayer is that people will hear the gospel, people will be saved. Where do we take them then? Discuss. But the hope is that we'll almost kind of be growing the need for a church to be started on the estate rather than forcing a church on the estate that is really for us but there. So it's a church with people from the estate hopefully setting the agenda, setting the tone. The truth is it won't look that much different from Avenue, but it will be different as well in some sort of ways we wouldn't pick up on, I think. So that takes time. So it's going to take time for us as a church and as a group of people moving into the estate to get to know and understand the estate, to become accepted and loved and part of the estate. That will become very quickly, I think, the more we get involved. But then to get to know people, to have a chance to share the gospel, to share our lives with them as well, it's going to take time. And so the average time scale is 2 to 3 years from my friend's experience. Rachel.
Does that mean then that potentially on a Sunday you might be meeting in people's homes within that time scale? People who are planning to go to Ayres Monsell will carry on going to Avenue for that?
The second one. So the idea will be that, So increasingly, the people who have committed to moving into Ayres Monsell, their lives will gradually sort of fade away from Avenue, apart from on a Sunday, and be based on Ayres Monsell as much as possible. Increasingly, so it's not going to be immediate overnight. we're going to try and be as honest and talk about that as much as possible at family meetings about all of this. The last thing we want to do is, well, why is this happening? What's happening? We want to be communicating about this as much as possible so there are no shocks, there are no surprises, we're as transparent as possible. But yeah, over those 2 to 3 years, life apart from a Sunday morning will gradually move away to Ayres Monsall until there is a church on Ayres Monsall, is the plan. Yes, Nicole.
And the knock-on effect of
Yeah, it's a big sacrifice. There is it's a big sacrifice for the sending church, and a big sacrifice for people moving into the estate. There's a big time of grieving as well from both parties. That's another reason for the 2 to 3 years. But the beauty of the body of Christ is that we believe that Christ prepares people for service in certain environments. And so if there is a hole that is left, then that needs to be filled, doesn't it? And that gives people who otherwise wouldn't step up to fill that hole opportunity to develop gifts, develop skills. It's the pattern throughout the New Testament and Old Testament as well, that God prepares people. There's never a gap left where God doesn't want a gap left, if that makes sense.
Yes, we certainly are already anticipating some people who are quite key servants in different areas. They will, again, over time, their focus will shift more to Ayres Monsall. So yeah, it's a good question, Nicole. We will have to be thinking, how do we make sure things like Accelerate Source have the people to keep running them? But it does seem to be that some of the church leaders you've been chatting to, Dan, and the stuff you do with Acts 29 Church in our places, it just does make sense for people who are living on the estate just to really have that as their focus rather than, oh, I come across still to do Thursday night at Avenue, or I come across to do Sunday night at Avenue. It's a sense of actually trying to be in that community as much as they can. And it has been sort of, a lot of this has come out of just chatting to other church planters, chatting to people who've been doing a lot of research in this.
Either people have done it or wish they'd done it this way. So at FIC Leaders last week, I was able to share with just a few of my friends who I've chatted to recently about our hopes and plans, and people who've done church planting around Britain were jealous of the opportunity that we've got to take things slowly, a church backing and understanding and supporting the sort of slow growth of this church designer who was kind of forced into starting quite quickly and are really struggling and regretting it now and wishing they'd taken longer to either build team, get to know the estate, or just sort their constitution out as a church. Because suddenly they've got this church with people who are attending it, they've committed to moving into it, but they all believe different things on different areas, and we get to think about that together and discuss these and pray about this as a team and a group and as a church. So
once at that timescale, it's a broad timescale we're talking about. Things could move faster, could move slower, but we're sort of saying that does feel like, from the research that's been doing, that feels like about a 2 to 3 years feels, you know, a good guiding sort of number to give to that. The other question, two other questions really before we do break for discussion, is what will it mean for someone to join for want of a better word, the church planting team? So the people who will be more and more, their focus will be more in Ayres Monsall rather than with Avenue. They'll still be part of Avenue, but that sense. So what will it mean for someone to join that, if someone wants to join it?
So someone is praying about that and thinking about that. A good thing to do is chat to me, Jamie, and the other elders. The last thing we want to do is just go, yeah, everyone join, come along, and it'd be really damaging and cause pain and cause hurt and it not be the right fit. Again, all the other church planters I've spoken to around the country have suggested just be slow, be wise, be patient, and don't rush to have people committing in. So if this is something people are praying about, please come and speak to someone. We'd love to chat with you and pray about that and explore that with you. Because it does, I'm fairly convinced it does mean moving into the estate, which is a big ask. That is a big ask, with no guaranteed certainty of a church at the end of it. We do things in faith, we take risks for God. There is no certainty of this all going ahead. We hope and pray and trust that it is going to lead that way. And if it doesn't lead that way, it's a great place to live. It is not horrible. It is not like some ghetto. It is a lovely place to live with fantastic people and not too far from some great churches. But that is a big sacrifice, because that does mean potentially changing schoolings or things like that for different people. It is a big thing to give up. So moving into the estate is a big significant cost. And that will mean being aware that life at Avenue will start to shift over to Ayres Monsall and the growing commitment of midweek. Just for example, rather than, I don't know, doing Accelerate Race, you'll find yourself in a pub chatting to nobody, because you need to be on the estate to get to know people, to see people, and that involves going to places you wouldn't ordinarily go. Trying to find the places where people are. There are 3 pubs on the estate. That seems a natural place to go. There's not a lot of other social areas to go to right now, especially evenings. So that might mean that while people at Avenue are really involved in Accelerating Source and all sorts of things, you're just sat with just me in a pub somewhere. I can't imagine much worse. So that's a real sacrifice. And being aware of that there is a real grieving period. A lot of church planters have talked to us of their teams. There's a real period of grief, of slowly saying goodbye. It's like slowly pulling off a plaster, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It hurts more than just ripping the plaster off and going, and that's what we're doing. So there is a big cost of that. So there will be changes in the way the week will look, perhaps increasingly so. It's not an immediate change, but it will be an increasing shift over.
It feels very much when you talk as if you need people to feel called as a missionary there. So when someone goes somewhere as a missionary, you go there because you love the people, mm-hmm. because you want them to know Jesus, not because you know there's going to be necessarily a church.
Yeah.
And so you actually move. You can't be a missionary to China without
going to China. So when Brandon Nelson was here, he talked about, was it 3,000 people groups? I may be making that number up. But when I spoke to him afterwards, I talked about sort of poor estate ministry. I hate the term working class because it is a human construct, but it's the best way of describing what we're talking about. But I asked about working class people in Britain, and he says, yeah, you could really add them. By all the factors you measure an unreached people group, working class people in Britain are that. So this is like missionary work into an area that is not church, hasn't got a church background, doesn't have the same kind of ethical values that we would have maybe from our backgrounds. So it is mission work, because we've got to get in, get to know the people, learn the language almost, realise that when they're shouting at it, it doesn't mean they're angry, it just means they're passionate in any way. They might be angry, but they might just be excited or happy or hungry. It is learning a different culture, and so the missionary idea is a really good idea. But the benefit of this missionary work is you can keep your job. No one's asked you to move your job to Ayres Monsell, although if you fancy jobs in teaching, there are some great schools. There's one great school. No one's asking you can be a missionary and keep your job.
But I think the missionary thing, and that is really helpful. That's really helped us as elders think that through. And obviously we've got the lovely thing of you with the Wicks family moving to Ethiopia, you know, Wallace's hopefully to Nigeria at some point, you have that sense of partnership with missionaries. And again, in one sense, it's less, obviously geography is a bit less, I understand, to go to Ayres Monsell. But yeah, it is that sense of a long-term partnership with people on the mission field. And that does feel like a right way of thinking about it. And the challenge for us, we chat a lot as elders about, we want it to be that we are all on a mission field. And the danger, we don't want it to be like, well, people who are committed to mission will move to Ayres Monsell, people who aren't will just stay at Avenue. That's not the case at all. We want to be, and actually a lot of the time, church planters, you chat to them, and both those who go and those who send all benefit from that sense of actually, yeah, the gospel is true. Yeah, the gospel does have power to save people. So we want to benefit from this. There will be cost for us as a church family, but also we want to benefit.
Well, there's a Tim Keller article, isn't there, that I can share with people if they wish, that talks about in any planting and sending church environment, you see this: the planting church tries things and they either succeed or fail, and the ones that succeed, the sending church, go, oh, we can do that. Great. And you see there is the most church growth from new converts through planting churches and churches that send churches. Because they have the room then as well.
Tim Keller says, must be right. So next steps, and before we break for discussion really, so in what's it done? So people to be...
Well, yes. First next
oh, hang on, you've got...
This Saturday.
Yes, you do have that.
There is a morning of prayer for Ayres Monsell. This Saturday from 9 a.m. to midday, or longer if you want to stay for lunch. It will basically be a case of come to our house, we'll all get there, we will take our shoes off, or Jamie will kill you, but we won't take our coats off, and then we'll go out, either, depending on how many of us there are, we'll either all go en masse, or I might try and say, you go to this place, you go to this place, you go to this place. We'll just spend a bit of time just walking around, looking at the estate. I mean, yeah, just seeing where we are. It makes it sound like a zoo, doesn't it? It isn't that, it's just a place. But just getting the feel for it, it's much easier to feel a connection to a place when you've been there and you've seen it and you know it a bit better. So a bit of a walk around the estate, then come back to ours. Hopefully you'll WhatsApp me a load of pictures and I'll put them on the laptop on the TV in the front room, and we'll just discuss stuff, and then we're going to pray together about the estate and about more of the things we've talked about tonight. It's just another chance to pray together as a church for Ayres Monsell. Really, really keen, as Richard says, we don't want this to be an us and them situation. We have to be in this together. This is a whole, there is no church planting team that isn't Avenue. We are all the church planting team. There's just going to be those people who are moving in and those who are sending. I'd recommend listening to Brandon Nelson's talk from World Mission Sunday with this in mind. Is really helpful. So this is the first thing you can do. If you want to just develop your heart and think, is this a place we can move to? Try and get to this. Or if you can't make this and you want to, give us a shout. We can have a walk around the estate with you at any point.
Yeah, we did this on the week of prayer in the summer, so a few people did that then, but this is just opening it up to a wider group of people, which is quite key. And again, from tonight, really, so people who are considering moving on to the estate, I mean, we sort of said, you've asked, we can name some names.
I think we've made previously, so it's okay.
So, yeah, so.
So Dave and Hannah have committed to moving in, and so Josh and Emma. And Abby, as far as consultants work, is guaranteed. She intends wholeheartedly to move on to this, and those are the ones that are confirmed at the moment.
So it'd be good to be praying for them.
Yeah, please, particularly, it's an expensive year, 2020, isn't it, in that case, for two families in Abbey in particular. That's a big outlay. So that is an expensive year. So we've got those people moving in. We want more. We'd love to have more. So if it's something you're thinking about or praying about or got any questions about, please come and chat. I would love to talk about this through with anybody. Because we can't, I mean, in one way we could launch a service with us seven, but I'd like more. I think 15 to 20 we've talked about is kind of my number in my head, which is completely just random.
Yes. And the thinking is, again, that's kind of, we'll meet as a small group of it, particularly maybe from about Easter, we think, times good. Maybe they'll start meeting more regularly together. Obviously, there'll still be the monthly prayer meeting for everyone, but that group will sort of meet a bit more. And you're going away as a group on kind of a holiday / research trip.
Yes. Yeah. So the church in Edinburgh that set up the 20 schemes thing, that set up the Acts Church in Hard Places apprenticeship thing, they have a regular weekend conference for people either looking at church in poorer communities, church planting, or doing church in poorer communities and thinking and praying about it. And that is at Nidri Church in Edinburgh. So as a team, we've got dates off work and all sorts. For the weekend of the 13th, we're even staying until the Monday, till the 16th of March next year. So that's a really exciting time. I've been to two of these weekend conferences and they're brilliant. Jamie's been to one with me and loved it. They're a really good time just to hear about the issues particularly facing churches in poorer communities. So the last one was about abuse. And what the gospel says to that, and the talks I think will be online soon are fantastic. And then, so that's all day. So Friday is a women's pre-conference, then there's an evening session on the Friday, then like four or five sessions on the Saturday, and then you go to church normally on the Sunday. So we're probably going to see some of the churches done in the schemes in Edinburgh, and that's, I'm really looking forward to that weekend. That's going to be a really good team building time, but just time to be away and see how different and how not different things are.
Okay, so we're going to break now for just maybe get into your groups. It's just, it's a sense of, you know, questions, comments, what do we think about this? So I guess the big things tonight are growing a church. We think that's going to take some time. We're saying something like 2 to 3 years. Just any thoughts, questions, comments on that? So what it means to join that church planting team. So we are asking people if to move on to the estate to be part of that initial group. So again, if that's something just to be praying about, and any questions on that. And then also just those next steps, praying for Harrison Shirtcliffe's Abbey, but also other people thinking this through. So if we just maybe take a bit of time just to talk together, any questions, comments, we'll do that for a few minutes and then we'll have a big discussion about that. There's a couple of other things to communicate and then we're going to pray to finish. But just questions, comments on anything that we said tonight in your groups, and then we'll come back together as a big group. Okay, everyone, if we can come back together as a big group, so we want a bit of time to pray before we finish tonight. So I guess just a sense from tonight's meeting, really, kind of any particular questions, comments, thoughts off the back of what we've been saying about timescale, joining the team, next steps. Anyone want to sort of share any thoughts, questions, comments with us? Matt.
Just in terms of like the preparation and the costs to the church, what might be financial costs in those 2 years when no church is happening, people are just going to the pub and buying their own houses, spending their own money.
Yeah. I like the way you said that. But yeah.
Is there something that we should be doing or just saving up?
I promise to show Chris Avenue we're buying the
house. Well, I mean, it's funny. I mean, it's, yeah. So, no, helpfully.
Buying a house to rent there or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
That is, I mean, I think a couple of things to say that. One thing is, and we'll say this now really, is that we're aware as elders, we want to talk about Dan's role at Avenue. So technically, many of you may not know that Dan's technically due to finish his role at the end of the summer, 2020. And elders are proposing we want to reappoint Dan as assistant pastor, but kind of with the view to lead this church plant, this growing church. And again, more and more during that next period where he's with us, his focus will shift more and more to Ayres Monsall, but he would still be on staff at Avenue. So that's one, I guess, financial cost or financial partnership we're doing very much, the sense of actually we might be having another staff who's actually less and less around with us, except on those Sundays, and doing more and more stuff in Ayres Monsall, and obviously reporting back and being part of things in that way. But that's one, if you like, financial outlay. Interestingly, I mean, and this is total dream territory, and it might not be wise at all, but funny enough, Ayres Monsall has a couple of buildings, former youth centres, one that is shut, one that's maybe going to shut, that some of the guys were saying, maybe dreaming a bit, going, what if we actually had a building quite early on that was already used by the community to get to know people? Now,
let's name and shame. Dave had this.
Dave had this.
I'd never be so bold.
I had this friend. It depends on the route you go to Ralston when you're there in the summer, but kind of there's the Magpie Youth Centre that's been shut for quite a while now. And then there's another one just behind the Catholic Church, Anglican Church? Catholic Church? One of the churches. That's down there that is currently open but always under threat of closure. And I mean, what we talked about as elders is maybe, like, we talked about getting a building a few years ago. It doesn't look like it's on the cards for us, but wouldn't it be amazing if we quickly bought a building for this plant, which would be potentially a cheaper building, but also could be a way of raising profile of a church ahead of it starting meeting on a Sunday. That is kind of, that might not happen at all, I'm just saying it tonight, but that is, again, we just want to be open to exploring those possibilities. So that could, again, be, that would always be a financial outlay for us to say, would we even be buying or getting hold of a building? We always thought this plant would meet at Ralston, and it may still do that. But actually, it would really be amazing if there was a building we could do. So those are two things. One is a bit more tangible and you know, probably and we can anticipate that one. The other one is a bit unknown, but that is another financial thing that might happen.
Do we need to be putting the money aside for things that are going to come up? Is that something
Richard, can I just add to that? A couple of years ago, the church decided to put some money aside in the hope that we might be finding a new building for ourselves at Avenue. That money is designated. That means that it's not restricted just to a building for Avenue. It could be used for some other purpose. So it may be, and I know the elders may have thought about this, if not, I'm sowing the seeds for them. That money could be redesignated and brought into use, say, for priming the pump for whatever comes up for Ayres Monsall.
So the short answer is we haven't put aside any money yet, but I think these are questions we want to keep exploring. But yeah, the building fund is a good example of something that we do actually have a bit of money set aside, and that could actually be a wise use of it. Yeah. Elaine, sorry.
So I was just thinking then, so if Dan's on staff, but over the next 2 or 3 years more and more in Ayres Monsall, heading things up and being part of things there, what does that mean for you and the staff team at Avenue, both in terms of workload, I suppose, and capacity to employ somebody else? If we're paying Dan, Dan's not doing so much with our church family, which is fine, but recognising what does that mean for you and the staff team going forward? Because that's 3 years potentially where we could say, can't afford anyone else.
Well, we are exploring that at the minute. So obviously, you know from last month, we're going to be advertising, actually this week, hopefully get the advert out for the women's worker position. So that's maybe separate, but kind of looking to appoint someone when Lauren heads to Ethiopia. We are thinking about staffing at the minute. We've actually got a good discussion about that this coming Thursday. So certainly there's that sense of, you know, what can't mean. Obviously, we know there are limits to budgets. We can't go, oh, well, Dan's going there, well, let's have a whole other staff member. We're trying to anticipate that. Some of this could be some of the short-term costs, I guess, of, you know, Dan's focus being more and more going, there's a bit more that comes back to existing staff, equally a bit more that comes back to non-staff that we all, everyone involved. So we are thinking about that, talking about that, praying about that. But
we do see that maybe as part of us, you know, sacrificially giving the sense of actually down being on staff, but actually more and more focus being on our muscle, which feels right. And again, if, and what we're doing, we're proposing that we will, you know, bring that to a church member's vote to reappoint Dan. Again, the time scale of how quickly his focus would shift is a bit up for grabs. So say he started again September time, you know, he may well be, not much would change, maybe up to Christmas, but maybe from the new year 2021, maybe that will be the time where more and more he will step back on some things midweek, certainly, and doing more stuff midweek on Ayres Monsall. Those things are, we're still discussing that and thinking that through.
And we've talked very clearly, we want to be communicating all of this as clearly as possible as and when we know. So it won't be that suddenly I'll stop doing stuff midweek. We will be communicating that as far in advance as possible. We want to be just as transparent so that we are all in it. It isn't just a group making decisions and the rest living with it. This needs to be, we want to communicate as much as possible. Therefore, ask as many questions as you want as and when, please.
Other questions, comments?
I suppose just on the back of all of that financial stuff, we need to really recognise and assume that Ayres Monsall Church, whatever that might look like, will not be financially independent for a number of years. Yeah. If ever, this is a missionary partnership, and we might support them ad infinitum, you know, depending on what happens, and that's right and proper. So other change of subject. So. Yeah. Two kind of scenarios. We thought, okay, you touched on this, Dan. What if you meet someone in your pub on a Sunday night and they do Bible studies with you and they become a Christian? Or family gets really interested through something happening at the school and they want to go to church, where they go. Yeah. Also, what happens if in 2 years people have moved on the estate, you've sat in your pub and nobody's interested, and it all comes back cold? There's no answers to that.
No. Yeah. I mean, we have talked
well,
a bit about that.
Some
so
answers, obviously.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the idea of you saying people becoming Christian is amazing, brilliant, thank God, and you would probably be part of a eventually that Sunday meeting. We talked about that a bit, you know, and we're wrestling with that a wee bit too. So kind of, would it be that, say, the guys living on the estate would be just bringing some friends who've just become Christians to Avenue on a Sunday? Would that feel really weird and out of culture? Would that actually not feel that different to a Sunday meeting as long as they've got that midweek contact on the estate? We're still discussing that a bit. Interesting, a bit of a precedent of Mowicker Estate, North Church in Mowicker, that spoke recently. They surprised themselves in a sense how quickly they felt they did want to meet on a Sunday. So we've said 2 to 3 years. We think that is still probably about a wise time scale. But again, we want to be open again. You have amazingly, the revival breaks out in Ayres Monsall. You would go, well, we need to meet on a Sunday. We need to have a Sunday gathering. So that could be a wonderful thing to pray for, though we do anticipate it's going to take longer than that. And again, the idea of midweek stuff in the estate as well, just kind of even discipling new converts could be happening throughout the week as well as maybe people coming on a Sunday, and it might feel a wee bit not quite culturally where they are, but there's a sense of actually they'll still be hearing the Bible talk, which they would happen anywhere. So we're singing God's praises, which would happen anywhere. But yeah, so these are kind of unknowns, I guess, but we are grappling with some of them. And I think the question of, you know, 2 to 3 years, what if we're nowhere? Well, I think that would be painful in some ways, but also you just go, well, isn't it better to have tried? And I know of a church plant situation a friend of mine led 20 years ago, and he was the church planter. He eventually pulled the plug and said, it isn't working, guys. We're going back to the mother church. Really painful. But then nearly 20 years later, a man called Graham Bynan moved to Cambridge and started a plant in that area. And it is thriving now. And that's 20 years on from a church plant in that exact area that had petered out and was shut down. So sometimes the timescale could be, maybe we'll be sowing seeds that don't lead to a church plant for 20 years. See, we kind of hope that isn't going to happen, but I think it wouldn't be a failure or disaster. I mean, the success thing is, how do you define success? Mm-hmm. Is it financially viable, independent church in 3 years? Well, probably not. But is it people hearing the gospel and trusting Jesus? Yes, that is success. And if it's a church, we really want that. We think that is where we're headed. But if it's not, we just trust God for that. But yeah, those are big questions. Sorry.
I think we're using the analogy.
Yes. And like the hope and prayer is revival in Ayres Monsall.
Yeah.
But actually, look at the parable of the sower. There's a 75% failure rate. Like, it's inbuilt to the gospel, a 25% only success rate in one respect. Not we don't live by figures, but But I think we need to be realistic about it. It's not going to be. And we're going to have many people from all the experience I've chatted to who come so close and who study with you for weeks and you invest your lives into them and their families and they're just dead to them.
But that's why, so I do worry a little bit about we're going to study, you know, the language that is used that we're starting a church on as Mosul, because that's what you hope, but actually what you're doing is going to live in as Mosul to Russia.
Yeah.
I just worry a little bit about it. We need to be really careful with how it's talked about.
And that's part of the idea of growing it. So it's not just we're planting. So it's growing the hope from not just us going in there and dropping seeds, but from those seeds growing. Yeah. And we all know that's God's the only one that makes them grow. And that's why I'm so keen to be praying. That's why it's a monthly prayer meeting. Granted, this month will be superseded by the Saturday one, so don't worry about next Thursday, people. But just praying together as a church and then as a group of people who are committed to moving in, we will be praying together a lot, because you're right, we can't make any difference. We can put on a nice service and we can speak an interesting-ish message, but God's the only one that's going to make the seed grow, and we desperately need him to do it.
And also the missionary analogy, in one sense, every missionary does want a church at some point. It's not about just a few individuals. You actually do want it. We do believe that God saves people through the church, you know, through his church in various contexts. So you're right, it could be ones and twos, and we keep going with that. But I think the idea of growing a church is that we really do want to see a church community grow. We need not Christians living in isolation, converts in isolation. It's a sense of we're reliant on one or two people. We think, actually, wouldn't it be great if people are part of a functioning, healthy church family on that state? That is our dream. And yeah, it might not happen quite the time scale or the way we want it to, but I think it is probably quite a good thing to say, yeah, growing a church, because that's a healthy way of converting and discipling and growing people to maturity.
Richard, I asked the question that in our own little group here, and David was very helpful in answering it, I think, with regard to connectivity with other groups that are already on the estate. Now, they may be secular groups, or they may be weak churches, but I presume there is some work going on in trying to find out what the needs of the community are out there, apart from obviously wanting to bring the gospel into it. People's lives, but also so that we don't tread on other people's toes or even damage some really good work that is going on the estate. So I imagine that you guys are...
So part of the homework that was given a couple of weeks ago was find out everything that is happening on the estate that we could possibly get involved in and then get involved. Why would we start something that's already happening? Why don't we just join what's already happening?
Yeah.
Is the plan.
Sure. Yes. And also we've met some other church leaders, so we met with the vicar of St. Christopher's Church, which is kind of more Saffron Lane, but with a bit of an eye to Erzmonsel. Had a good time with him. We're going to get together with the new Anglican vicar, I think he's a Korean guy, chatting to the Baptist church on the corner. We're trying to make as much as we can to get to know the churches that are there. And we want to go in good terms as much as we can, you know, so we can't always guarantee that, but you want to be, again, communication feels really key, not just suddenly appear. We want to go, actually, we'd love to be part of a church here. Can you tell us stuff about the estate? What are you already doing? And actually, the vicar at St. Christopher Street was going, this would be great. This place is ripe for a church. He was really supportive. It was a lovely time with him. And we want to replicate that as much as we can. So talking to people already there.
St. Christopher's that I had in mind, actually.
Okay, yeah. No, so we had a good chat with the vicar there. He's very supportive, which is great.
Thank you.
So,
yeah.
Well, I think it is about getting involved. I remember the church plant in Bristol that I was part of, which failed. Well, no, wrong word. Which ended.
Yes.
And it was, we looked at, it's youth clubs, running clubs, whatever there is, not expecting that you running clubs in Esmonton, but I played football with Somalian lads every week at this youth club, and it was a boxing place. I got picked last every week because they were Somalian and I wasn't. But it is just going to be finding those things.
And the benefit, the weird sort of benefit I've had over the last 6 years, 7 years living there and teaching in Saffron Sandworth Academy, knowing people there, I've got access to the mugger pitch just off Esmonsel. I can use that. I know places you can do stuff limitedly on a very small budget. And then Jamie goes into the community centre the weekend and just finds shared loads of stuff that she spammed the WhatsApp group with. There's just so much we can get involved in. It's having the time. It's going to be hence the need to pull away from things that haven't you to free us up to do more things on the estate and live the life there as much as possible.
Yeah.
I think I just shared with the group, our little group, one of the things that I'm nervous about isn't necessarily like crime or anything like that. It's actually moving away from not just Avenue Church family, but I was saying that at the moment, because of our life stage and lifestyle, a lot of our friends are at other churches. So we've got lots of friends at Knighton, lots of friends at the Meadows. And actually those relationships may also need to be sacrificed and in some way or reduced, not the love obviously, but the time spent with them. And actually there's a wider impact that goes beyond our church family. And it's supporting other you know, loving other people in churches around Leicester and its, you know, commitment to work and other things outside. And, you know, the prospect of not hanging out with a really close friend and spending an evening in the pub, you know, it's
with me,
with Dan. you know, it's exciting, but it's I'm nervous about that sort of thing. So yeah, pray for that, because that's, I will be incredibly sad to leave with you, whatever that looks like or how that moves. But it's also these other relationships as well, and I, you know, they won't have had 2 years of, you know, monthly conversations about it to get used to it. Yeah. So it's that as well.
And that's really key stuff to pray about, Emma. It is, you know, that sense of just, and you know, it's how we keep communication, how we keep partnership, you know, even if physically we're not seeing quite as much other. And it's just, yeah, and this is unknown territory for a lot of us actually. So it is kind of, we don't quite know how it's going to develop, but we want to trust God in it, love each other well. But yeah, pray about it definitely.
A really helpful resource if any of you are mulling over this, questions about things generally with church. We've invested as a church in 25 copies of book Church in Hard Places. We'd love you to get that and read that and just know, think a little bit more. Oh, actually, this says this. How does this apply to Esmont's any future things? Just, it's a brilliant book. It's very easy to read. It's kind of, I think, the go-to if you're thinking about doing church in poor communities anyway. It's an absolute bargain, isn't it, Richard?
It is. I think the recommended retail price is maybe £11.
Is it roughly that? Well, how much are we selling it for, Richard?
I think it might be £5.
£5? Golly gosh. Yeah, exactly. But it is a really recommended read. It's really, really good. Really helpful, very challenging, provoking. Not just for church and poor communities, but for church anywhere, actually. It's really helpful. My dad's read it and loved it for where he is. And yeah, I think it's a really good book. So if you want to grab that, you can pay that tonight, either cash to me, Richard or Keith, or backs transfer. The details are on the, I think, at the back. But they'll be around at church for a while at the back. But that's a really helpful book. It's, yeah, a really good first port of call to read and very easy to read as well.
We're going to call time now. Let's get in our groups and just pray. It's been quite a lot of information tonight, but just please, as Dan said, we want to keep talking, keep communicating about this, but let's just spend the last few minutes praying for this work, praying for the road ahead, praying for clarity, wisdom, trust in God, love for each other, love for that state. Let's pray and then we'll finish.